Shut up and sit down.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday night in Fremont. It's time for the CSCCS After Party! Tonight we have a very special show where CSC Seattle has gotten some new players and we are going to find out about them. But first, my host for the evening, Mr. Dave Bogan, is going to introduce us to those players and our contestants.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. Welcome to the After Party Podcast. Clap for yourselves, everyone. Yeah. All right. We got some very special guests here tonight. We have two of our newest comedy sports players are here tonight. We had auditions recently, and these are two of the lucky folks that showed us that we like them. Like them enough to make funny ha-has with them and probably eventually get really drunk with them. Yeah, because that's part of the comedy experience. Anyways.
It can start tonight.
Yeah. First sitting with us, he's played in three shows now. Is it three or four? Oh, it's three. Three shows right now. He's had his first three shows in the past 2 days. Please give it up for Mr. Nathan Jackson, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. Did you have fun on those shows?
I did. I had a lot of fun. Started off kind of nervous, but it ended up being a great time all three times. So it's been great.
Yeah, you did a great job. And then also joining us, he has yet to play his first show, but that's going to be coming up fairly soon, I'm sure. Another brand new comedy sports Seattle player. Please give it up for Scott Wallace, everyone. Yes. Thank
you. I prefer to classify myself as undefeated, Dave.
Savor that while it lasts. Mm-hmm. Savor it while it lasts. So we're going to be talking with these guys a little bit about their comedy experience and how they got into it and stuff like that. But before we do that, Daryl, we're going to play a fun game, aren't we?
We are. We're going to play a little match game. So why don't you introduce us to the players?
So let's see. We got three contestants tonight. They're going to be playing to hopefully win some fun prizes. Actually, guaranteed prizes.
Guaranteed prizes,
right. We got Jeremy, we got Mark, and we got Jason, everyone. Let's clap for them. Yeah.
Jeremy, Mark, and Jason.
They hung out after our Full Disclosure show, which is one of our newest shows here at CSZ Seattle, home of comedy sports. Yeah, did you guys like that show?
It was great, yeah.
Thanks, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yell in
there. I loved it. Every second.
We got some great topics. It's where we have one local celebrity or personality comes here and they share some true stories and then we do some improv stuff that is spun off of the suggestions that come out of that story. But you can find out more about that at where, Daryl? Where can you find out more?
At SeattleComedyGroup.com.
Yeah, check it out. But we're gonna jump right into the action. We're gonna play some match game right now. Some match game to start out our show. Right now, everyone, contestants and guests, get your dry erase markers ready because I'm going to be reading a phrase that is going to end with a blank. And what our contestants and our guests are going to do is they are going to write down on their little dry erase board what they think the blank should be, what makes the most sense to them. And then we're going to see if our contestants match with our panel here. And for every match, they get 1 point and a chance to win some awesome prizes. Yeah, some awesome prizes. All right, so we're going to start with our first phrase in our first round. Here we go. Get your markers ready. First phrase. There are so many forensic cop shows.
Yeah, there are.
Each from a new location or time period. They're working on a new show based in blank. Wow, I'm really ready with that. All right, I'll read it again. There are so many forensic cop shows, each from a new location or a time period. They're working on a new show based in blank. Based in blank.
Speaking of new shows, we constantly have new shows.
Yeah.
And you might want to subscribe to the CSZ Seattle After Party. You can do that on iTunes or on Podomatic or any other place where you can register and subscribe to a podcast. So make sure to listen, rate, review us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic.com so other people can find us and our new episodes as well.
That's right. Check us out. We always have some fun guests every podcast. All right, so I'll read it again. There are so many forensic cop shows, each from a new location or time period. They're working on a new show based in blank. Now, Jason, you rang in first, so we're going to start with you. What did you write there?
Hot and swappy Vietnam.
Ooh, Vietnam. Wow. Mm-hmm. That would be an intense, that would be an intense show. Wow.
CSI Vietnam.
I like it. I think I'd watch it. Yeah! So let's see. What did you write there? What did you write there next, Mark?
Delaware.
Delaware. Almost as exciting as Vietnam, as we all know. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Delaware famous for, anyways?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Okay. He would probably make
every,
a cameo. In
every
that.
Case will... Joe. What do you know?
Joe would make a great, like, police chief for that, I think. Yeah. He would be a great police chief for that show. All right, now let's see, Jeremy, what'd you write?
I couldn't think of a better way to put it, but Bertha's Tunnel here for the
Bertha's
local.
Tunnel. Mm-hmm.
Very, very local.
Hyper-local, yeah.
Topical.
Bertha's Tunnel. Now, I'm new to Seattle, so I that reference goes right over my head. What is Bertha's Tunnel?
So there's a big drill that got caught. It's supposed to be fixing our traffic problem. But the only drill that can possibly save the drill that got caught is the drill that got caught.
I did hear something about that. Oh, my God. Classic. All right. So we have those three answers. Now we're going to see if we have any matches. Nathan, what did you write?
I wrote Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Alabama.
Alabama, oh.
Very specialized cases there, though, with Special Victims
Unit. You know, at least it was one of the 50 states, so if we let him get past Delaware, he might have eventually gotten to Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. So close, but not quite a match. Scott, we're going to go to you, brother. What do you got?
Well, mine's a period piece. It's NCIS Gettysburg. However, it's Gettysburg 88. It's an 80s feel to it, you know? So it's going to be a lot of, like, Miami Vice callbacks, things like that.
Gettysburg 88. I love it, but unfortunately...
So instead of Crockett and Tubbs, it would be what... I don't know.
we'd have to
Davy Crockett and I don't know.
Yeah. We'd have to brainstorm
but
that
one
a
little bit. But it's 1988, so I don't know.
Yeah, it would be like, I don't know, Flock of Seagulls, the band.
Yeah. I ran so far away to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you write, Daryl?
I was also thinking of a period piece, but I was just thinking of the period. And so I said, in the Stone Age.
Stone Age CSI.
So you'd have some, like, Neanderthals and cavemen, and they'd be going, ugh. It was hit with a rock.
Blood trail goes to Tyrannosaurus.
Tastes like, forensic science.
Taste blood.
Don't know laws and theories of thermodynamics yet.
Well, doesn't look like there was any.
There were
no matches
that round, which is not surprising.
Almost.
We got into the realm of states. That's pretty good.
All right. I have high hopes. I think the minds are going to start to meld here, and you guys are going to sync up. We're going to see some matches here soon.
Got this round.
So no points in that round. So go ahead, wipe your boards clean. We're going to go ahead and move on to our second phrase of our first round.
All right. Shake it out, guys. Shake it out.
Shake it out, everyone. Shake it out. Use your clairvoyance abilities and try to send those answers to each other. All right, here we go. Second phrase. Lester, the mime, once had to buy a gift for his friend, Jake the clown. He didn't need any big shoes or red shoes, so he thought he'd buy him a blank. Again, Lester, the mime, once had to buy a gift for his friend, Jake the Clown. He didn't need any big shoes or red noses, so he bought him a blank. No big shoes or red noses, so he bought him a blank. He buy that clown. Daryl, you a fan of clowns?
I am a fan of clowns.
Really?
Yeah, like real clowns.
Ah.
Like not just people dressed up as clowns just to be scary, but people who actually clown.
Like Ronald McDonald's?
Yeah, like that's just scary. That's just I dress up as a clown for capitalism. Yeah. No, that's just scary.
Yeah, I hate clowns that are just in it for the money.
Yeah, I like clowns who are like funny, in it for the funny.
I've heard that the clown profession is basically fading away. less and less people are doing clowning. It's like it's becoming like you might see them only at like the Barnum and Bailey circuses. You know, and those guys are really good clowns though. You ever see their makeup? It's amazing.
Yeah, they're for real. I mean,
yeah,
they're a real
like
thing.
They know what they're doing. Yeah, not like the person that just slaps their makeup on and.
Welcome to the CSZ Seattle After Party, where the CSZ stands for Clown School Zone.
Clown School Zone.
Don't speed in your clown car in the Clown School Zone.
Yeah. Bring the kids. We'll bring the van. What? No.
All right.
Yeah, that got weird. Okay, so moving on past this awkward moment. Let's see, Jeremy, I think you rang in first, though.
Yes.
So let me repeat the phrase. Lester the Mime once had to buy a gift for his friend Jake the Clown. And he didn't need any big shoes or red noses, so he bought him a blank. What did you write?
Imaginary box.
An imaginary box. What brought that to mind?
He's a mime.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. He was a mime, so that kind of makes sense.
And then he threw his board on the floor.
Ah, yeah, well, that'll happen. Yeah. All right, so an imaginary box. So what did you happen to write there, Mark?
That was tough. That was a tough one.
Yeah,
I had nothing, so I just went with whatever popped into my head, and it would be a painting of dogs playing poker.
I had a friend of mine that had one of those in his basement. Like when I was, I'm older, but it was like back in like the 70s where they had that painting, the velvet painting, and they also had shag carpeting, not on just on the floor, but on the walls.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
With the wood panel basement and everything like that too. I think that's coming back. I just do. Right, that's
the thing about the dogs playing poker. That's actually good art. Like, I couldn't do that. People make fun of it, but do that. Try to do that. I couldn't. No way.
I think they got one with cats too, don't they?
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, there's still money to be made in that. All right, Jason, what you got there?
We got a smart car for him and his 30 friends.
A smart car for him and his 30 friends. A smart clown car.
I wish
car.
I thought of that answer. That's a great answer.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
The new clown car.
Yeah.
We're gonna get a car to go, you know?
Well, we'll see if any matches come out of those answers. So let's see. Scott, I'm going to go to you this time first.
Well, I think we got a something here.
Uh-oh.
A box.
Oh! Hey! I'm going to say that's a match.
That's a match. I'm going to call that a match myself.
All right. So that's 1 point for Jeremy. 1 point for Jeremy. All right, Nathan, what do you got?
I was thinking of mimes and like the imaginary stuff. And so to me, that went for clowns. That's a balloon animal balloons.
Balloon animal balloons.
Yeah, so they could make like balloon animals out of the imagination. Because a mime would like, I'm gonna mime a dog, but a clown's gonna be like, I'm gonna make it out of rubber and air.
And you might think the balloon animal balloons is redundant, but it's not. They have special balloons for balloon animals. You can't use whatever.
No. Yeah, otherwise every balloon is like, this one's a jellyfish. It's just circle all the time.
Right. Try making an animal out of a Mylar happy birthday thing.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
No doubt. I've seen those balloons, and you would think they're easy to blow up. They are not. Because they're so tiny, and you have to like, I mean, you really have to blow hard in there to get something going. There was an innuendo in there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Straying off topic. Daryl, you have our last answer. What did you write?
I wrote an invisible box.
Hey!
Oh, yay!
Whoa. Two matches for Jeremy. Wow. Knocking it out of the park there. Very good. Jeremy
is on a wavelength.
Yeah. The minds are syncing up. So right now, Jeremy is in the lead 2-0. But, that can still change though. We still have some rounds to go here. That's going to bring us now to our third phrase. So go ahead and get your markers and your erase boards ready. This will be our third round of our normal round. Then we're going to move on to the lightning round, and I'll explain how that happens in a little bit. But here we go. Third phrase. New players to CSZ Seattle have to get used to a few silly things that happen backstage. The silliest so far has been blank. New players to CSZ Seattle have to get used to a few silly things that happen backstage. The silliest so far has been blank.
Do you find the way that Dave reads these sentences silly?
Well, then you might want to send your comments to us. Or maybe you want to send your own questions that he can read. And you can send us just questions in general to fanmail@czseattle.com or czseattleafterparty.com. So, once again, that's fanmail@czseattleafterparty.com.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Tell your friends to follow us, too, because that's always a good thing. Ooh, who hit the bell there first? All right, okay. So Jeremy hit the bell first. So you get to go first, but let's reread the phrase one more time. New players to CSZ Seattle have to get used to a few silly things that happen backstage. The silliest so far has been blank. What did you get, Jeremy?
Nude Donald Trump impressions.
You have no idea of how accurate that is.
He knows.
Very, very
accurate. That is silly.
Yes. Yeah. And it is silly. Yeah. Doesn't sound too silly, but yeah, it is silly. Well, we'll see if that's going to be a match. But, Mark, what did you end up coming up with there?
A mean leg dry hump.
A mean leg.
I mean mean.
Do you mean mean like angry or mean like really good?
Just really good.
Or okay. Mean like oh, average. Wow.
You can
like
go
just,
either way.
Just like an average leg dry hump. Because mean
well,
also means that.
Yeah, that's true. You can go either way.
Wow.
You can go either way.
But like, is like the leg mean or is the dry hump mean? I'm confused on your.
I think it's the passion put into it.
Ah, like a mean meaning passionate.
Yeah. It could be angry.
Leg
it could
dry.
Be
an average, yeah. Depends on the. It's weird initiations going on as a new player.
Is it? What does mean mean? Does mean mean meaning or mean mean meaning?
Oh,
mean?
It means what's like oh, mean into mean? It. Mean like
mean.
Oh, yeah.
There's also the existential leg dry hump. What is the meaning of this dry hump? What does it mean?
Very cerebral there, Nathan.
Yes. 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 Yeah. I give only top level cerebral my leg humps.
All right, Mark. You're the last one. I'm sorry, Jason. Yeah, Jason, what did you come up with there?
All right, for those who missed the show tonight, you missed a really good show. Right?
That's true. That's very
taking
true.
Taking the clothes off of a statue.
Ah, yeah, that's kind of an inside joke. That was something that occurred in our full disclosure show
it's
tonight.
Kind of yeah. Close to the nude Donald Trump impression.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Close. That's pretty close.
We were kind of reenacting that those kind of backstage antics in the show.
Don't try that one in Improv 101.
No,
it's not in the book.
No. That's
it's more of a 301.
Yeah, sort of. At least 301, yeah. If not 401. Yeah, kind of thing. All right, so we have our answers. Let's see if there were any matches. We'll start with you, Nathan. Nathan, what did you write?
I had my first show yesterday, and the weirdest thing that happened before that one was Nerf gun Russian roulette.
Ah. Yeah.
Trying to shoot each other to kill each other for some reason. It was a good way to bond before a show.
We have this Nerf gun, and it's like a revolver. So what we do is we take one Nerf bullet and we put it in there and spin it, lock it in, and we just pass it around and like you gotta point it at your head and just pull the trigger.
It's good team bonding.
Yeah, it is. It's good team bonding. And then when you shoot yourself in the head, we all laugh at you.
That's how Brandon Lee went.
It's how we warm up. But it's a nice way to kill yourself and be funny. Anyways.
Comedy's about killing.
Without the killing. That's what makes it funny. Scott, what did you owe?
I have something that's not normally silly, but this is a silly version of it. It's a silly stage fright.
That's silly stage what?
Fright.
Oh, silly stage fright.
Yeah.
How does that work?
It's just sillier than regular stage fright. So
makes sense.
Matches? No?
No matches there.
No, I don't think there's any matches there, no. All right, well, Daryl, it's up to you. What kind of answer did you come up with?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's matched with any of the contestants, though it's a close match to one of the players.
Yeah.
Where I said, being a Nerf target.
Hey! Being a Nerf target, yeah.
Well, inside knowledge.
Yes.
So I will say this. Our contestants actually seem to have a pretty good knowledge of what goes on backstage.
It's true, yeah. But there is a strange rule we have back there. One that I'm going to say right now, I don't agree with. We are not allowed to fart in the green room. We're not allowed because apparently people don't like the odor.
That's an outrage.
I think so. I think as comedians, we need to embrace the fart.
So only on stage, you got to save it.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Coming
that's
out
what
here.
I do. Or yeah. Save it for the bench. You know, when you're like in the show. But yeah, we're not. So now you guys know, yep. Not allowed to fart in the green room.
So the next time you're on a comedy sports match, come sit in the front row for a special greeting.
You'll get an olfactory experience of comedy here. Mine smell like sulfur. All right.
All right. And now we head into the lightning round.
That's right, Dad. It's the lightning round. So these are going to be rapid fire because they are just two word phrases. And obviously one of them is a blank. So I'm going to read you the phrase, and then you write in what you think the blank is.
Also, the lightning round has the sexy music.
That's right. If you haven't noticed, it's the sexy
because there's nothing sexier than being really quick, like lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, like when cable first came out, and like they'd have like Showtime or whatever, and you try to like de-scramble with the vertical hold on the TV to see.
You gotta get it right between
nudity.
The two channels.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Between the two.
Flip
back and forth really fast, but then sometimes like the bar goes up the middle, yeah. And you're like, look at this weird. Oh, the legs are on the top, but the head's on the bottom. I would.
Yeah.
And depending on the box, you can stick a fork in there and like really jam it.
I put a coat hanger in there.
There you go.
That seemed to work too. I put a coat hanger in there, and like it would.
Kids, don't try this at home.
No.
Please do not try to put metal objects inside of electronic boxes.
Especially kids have the internet now, so.
Yeah, if you're trying to look for things that your parents may not want you to see, don't go to the internet unless you're going to SeattleComedyGroup.com.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But yeah, you just get enough of a glimpse to be satisfied because of that age. Yeah, hormones are going. All right. enough.
And now at your age, they're just dead and tired.
Yeah, yeah. Used to be like a light breeze would blow, and I'd be like, ooh, hey. Now there's effort. And that effort.
I actually caught my brother and I doing that.
We were watching, really?
We were watching scrambled porn. And she came downstairs because she was like, it's way too quiet. You know, any good parent knows that if it's too quiet, it's not good. She went down there and just kind of caught us red-handed. We're like, whoa.
What?
Literally red-handed?
No.
No.
We're too young for that. We didn't know what we were looking at.
So. Scrambled porn. That sounds like a great band name. Scrambled porn, everyone! Probably punk. All right. Well, let's get started with our lightning round. So everyone, get your pens ready. Here we go. First lightning round phrase.
Oh, and this is a good time. Lightning round is a really good time to say that now the bell really matters, because if you have a matching thing to somebody else, you got to change it if you are after their if you ring in after them.
Ah, so if they wrote the same thing as the other person, they have to they have to change their answer. So does that make sense? So whoever rings first, whatever you wrote, you get to keep that, but if one of the other people wrote the same thing, since you didn't ring in first, you got to change yours. So, two of you. Your pen's dead? Oh, that's unfortunate.
You're in trouble then.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Nathan. All right. So here we go. First one. Comedy blank. Comedy blank.
You know, if you want to hear more about our comedy stuff, our shows and our podcasts and whatnot, you might want to follow us on Twitter at CSZSEA Podcast. Once again, that's CSZ as in comedy sports, SEA as in Seattle Podcast. So at CSZSEA Podcast.
All right, Mark has rung in first, so he gets to keep his answer no matter what. But I'll repeat it. Comedy blank. So, Mark, what did you write?
Comedy saves.
Comedy saves. What inspired that answer?
It's kind of like, I guess it's a religious thing. Jesus saves, I guess. But I think the great thing with comedy is that, you know, whatever mood you're in, it usually can take you out of that and give you a better, you know, outlook. So, comedy does save.
That's awesome. Wow. That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Kind of like whiskey. Yeah. All right. So comedy saves. Let's see. We'll go to you, Jason. Jason, what did you come up with there?
Comedy shenanigans.
I really love when things like this happen in the... in the match game where the answers we get are so non-obvious to me.
Comedy shenanigans.
Shenanigans? Do you guys talk about shenanigans?
It sounds like an Irish term or something. Yeah. All right.
Comedy shenanigans.
Hey. All right. What did you write there?
I'm going to add to the non-obvious and go with comedy porn.
Comedy porn.
I said non-obvious, not obvious.
Oh, sorry.
Might as well have written honeymoon.
Is there a such thing as comedy porn?
Yes.
Really?
That's what this is, right? That's why we're all here.
Comedy, yeah, comedy, kind of what's coming out of our mouths, yeah, a little bit. Comedy porn. Huh.
This is the strip match game, right? Like, you guys haven't been
taking it? Oh, no. That's next week. But comedy porn, I don't know. I'll have to look that up on Pornhub.
The original rules for the podcast were that we were all naked. And then I started taking pictures and everybody started getting dressed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we had vinyl seats back then. It was very...
If you listen to the old podcast, you can hear that we're naked.
You can hear that we're naked. Wow. Amazing.
Keep saying.
All right. So let's see, Scott. Let's go to you first. What did you write?
I have of errors.
Comedy of errors.
You know what I'm saying?
Comedy of errors. Is that Shakespeare?
Yeah. Yes. The new players to comedy sports.
So yeah, I read golden books. So yeah, I'm not that.
Hey, the Berenstain Bears are cool, man.
Yeah, they are. That's true. All right, Nathan, what did you write?
I went very, surprise, comedy sports.
Ah, comedy sports, yeah.
He's had three shows already, yeah, or three matches already.
On the brain.
He already knows to give us shameless plugs whenever he can. Yeah, yeah. So, comedy sports, and then, well, Daryl, you have the last chance for a match. What'd you get?
He matched with Nathan, and I said sports.
Comedy sports. So no matches there, unfortunately.
It's the sport of comedy, affectionately known as the sport of clowns, which we talked about earlier. Clowns.
Yeah. Clowns. All right, no matches there, but we're going to move on to our second lightning round. So get your boards ready. Here we go. Our next one is blank. Box. Blank box. What could it be?
Hey, box. You know where there's a lot of boxes? Facebook. Comment boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you can like us on Facebook. Just look up CSZ Seattle After Party and click like. And then we'll hear all our crazy podcasts when you go to your Facebook. And you can find pictures and find out that we're not naked here unless we are. You don't know unless you're following us on Facebook.
That's true. At some point we'll have to get a live webcam going for this show, I think. It's a matter of time. All right, so we're going to see and find out. Let's see. Jeremy, you rang in first, so you get the first go at it. What did you write for blank box?
Dirty box.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I was kind of thinking that myself. Dirty box. Yeah. That's what they. I was gonna make a Tacoma joke. Yeah, I know. I was about to make some sort of joke, and I'm like, no, wait, put the brakes on that. All right, Mark. What did you end up with there for blank box?
The first thing that came to mind.
Hot box. Hot box. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Hot box. All right.
Seattle Green Show.
And Jason, what did you have?
Well, I had an SNL skit in mind, but I went another route and just went with talk box.
Talk box. Talk box. Oh, interesting. Talk box. Mm-hmm. That's from SNL?
No.
That was from one of our things in Full Disclosure tonight.
Oh, that's right. That's another Full Disclosure reference. So, hey. You should all check it out. It's the last Saturday of every month here at CSZ Seattle at 10 o'clock.
It's actually the fourth Saturday. Some months have five.
Yeah, some months have five. And the fifth one, we just run around here naked, which is fun. We're going to see if we can find some matches here. Let's see. We'll go to Nathan first. Nathan, what'd you write?
I wrote beatbox.
Beatbox.
Nice.
Huh. I was going to say, can you do a beatbox?
Little boon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. This is the rest of the show. Yeah. This is it. Yep. We're just going to beatbox the rest of it. All right. Beatbox.
Do I sound white on the podcast?
I know I do.
Yeah, me too. Very, very. What did you end up with, Scott?
Well, a key thing, I think Jeremy blew this one. I mean, what we were talking about before, invisible box.
Oh.
You got all your points from that. Come on, dude.
Man. He was fishing for you, too, there.
I can only do so much.
I know. I blew it.
Yeah, bless it. All right. Well, yeah, no match there. But now,
I was also thinking of something we were talking about before, but it wasn't the mime bit. It was the fact about scrambled porn, and I said cable box.
Cable box. Yeah, what was it? It was called, I don't know, you guys remember, it's Select TV, I think it was called, way, way back, Select TV. It was like the first cable you could ever order.
I don't remember that.
Wow, I'm old.
I just remember a cable box that I had with a big round dial on it.
Oh, really?
That's all I had, yeah.
Yeah,
it was called, like 30 things to go through, and that's it.
Yeah. It was called Select TV. Then HBO and Showtime came out. A little useless knowledge for you there.
Right.
All right.
Welcome to useless knowledge.
All right, so no matches for that one.
The lightning round going super slow.
That's right. We got three phrases left here, so still a chance to catch up with Jeremy here. It's still 2-0-0. All right, here we go. Third round of our lightning round. Here we go. Brown blank. Brown blank. Ooh. Jason's in.
You know what brown is? It's a color.
Yeah, it is.
And colors are found in photos. And photos can be found if you follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Yes, follow us on Tumblr and Instagram, and you can see some photos on occasion. We don't post there as often as Facebook, but we do post there. I'm getting better at it, I promise.
Yes, Daryl went to school for 4 years and was specifically trained in master segues. Segues, yeah. The phrase was brown.
The funny thing was, I first went for a whole year on how to write a segue, and then I was like, no, I want to do actual segues for the radio.
You are the segue god. But we have brown blank. Brown blank, so let's go to you, Jason. What'd you come up with there?
I kept it simple, something that everybody kind of uses every day. Yeah. Brown shoes.
Brown shoes. Yeah, very, very common everyday thing. That could be a match. We'll find out. Mark, what did you happen to write there?
Well, it's like song lyrics, you know? It means something different to everybody.
Sure.
And that's all I could get was brown pound.
Brown pound?
I don't get it.
Brown pound.
I don't get it either.
It's okay.
I'm going to Google that phrase and find out what that means.
Google it on Pornhub.
Brown pound. And finally, Jason, what'd you write?
I'm purely going for an obvious match here. Nothing funny about this. I'm going for brown bag.
Come on, fellas.
All right, help me out.
Comedy sports. Yep.
Help me out.
Brown bag. We have the brown bag foul here at Comedy Sports. When you say something excessively poopy, and poop is brown, too. There you go. All right.
If you're healthy.
I guess it's sometimes green, and then sometimes you're surprised that you ate corn. When did I eat corn? I didn't even remember that. All right. Let's move on past this. let's go to Scott first. Scott, what?
Mine works on a few levels. Yeah. Revenant's a popular movie right now.
Yeah.
And no one goes to the pink elephant car wash. They go to the brown bear car wash.
Brown bear. I do know that reference. That's like right down the road.
That's
here,
right.
35th Street.
These guys don't.
Yeah. No. The brown bear car wash. Yeah, they got some bears out there. And
they took over the brown pound car wash.
Right. So that's a match.
Yeah. So that's a match. Yeah. No more brown pound car wash. But Nathan, what did you end up with?
I wrote Brown versus Board of Education. I don't know why my brain went there, but it's important to know the issues.
Yeah.
Know your history, folks. Know your history. If there's one thing you can learn from the CSD Seattle After Party, it's history.
Yes. Way to keep it topical, Nathan.
I'm trying to bring some class, so yes, doing my part.
All right. Daryl, do we have a match with you?
Actually, I would say that we do, because I said brown bag foul.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my. So Jeremy has got three.
3 points.
Pretty commanding lead.
Yeah.
That is a lead.
Man. Well, there's he's like, this is fixed. Not fixed, yeah. But well,
yeah, it's fixed for the person who gets the most matches with us.
Yeah.
Because those are the rules.
That's how we roll here at CSZ Seattle. All right. Well, we're going to go on to our next round, so go ahead and get ready. Here is your next phrase. Next phrase. Blank fans. Blank fans. Whoever gets their answer written first, ring that bell so you can lock in your answer. Make sure no one else can steal it.
You may notice that earlier when I was talking about sending in your comments, questions, or match game sentences, you would send it to fanmail@CSZSeattleAfterParty.com. Once again, that's fanmail@CSZSeattleAfterParty.com because we love our fans.
Jeremy has rung in first. He gets to lock in his answer no matter what it is. All right. Let's find out. We have blank fans. I should have added that fans is spelt F-A-N-Z. I don't know if that would have helped. All right. Blank fans.
Now, mine makes a lot more sense. Bieber fans.
Well, that's the right answer. Now.
Right. Now Bieber, that there's a Z.
Bieber fans. Clearly, oh my Bieber God. Fans. What is the deal with
They're
them?
Actually called Beliebers.
I know. Are you serious? They're called Beliebers? They're
called Beliebers.
You got to believe.
Oh my God. When is he just going to go away? Now you know how I feel. okay. Well, Bieber, we'll see if that ends up being a match. What did you write, Mark?
I'm trying to get some points right now.
Yeah. CSZ fans. Oh, no. I have a feeling there might be a match for that one. You're starting to think now. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for helping.
Only until nearing the end of the game does he finally start to figure out how to try and think of this.
I was going to put CSV pound, but...
just write CSZ for every answer, then you'll win. Yeah. All right, well, Mark... Jason, it's up to you.
Through the spelling, but are you ceiling fans? Because
that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a good
one. The spelling doesn't really matter because this is a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. And I didn't say how it was spelt to them either. So you never know. All right, Nathan, what did you write?
This might be a match. I wrote sports fans.
Ooh,
CSZ sport. I mean, Comedy Sports is CSZ.
A little too generic.
See, the guy in the lead is saying, no, that doesn't count. That's a stretch. Really unbiased.
I'm going to call it a little too generic. I'm going to call that one a little too generic.
Yeah. If it was maybe comedy sports fans, I think we could have taken that. Yeah.
Of course.
Sorry, bro. I tried to help.
Yeah. He tried.
Very close. All right. Well, let's see. Scott, what did you come up with?
I'm so sorry. I had ceiling, and then I erased it because I like my fans to nod no at me, so I said oscillating fans. I'm sorry.
Oscillating.
We were right there.
Oh, so close right
very,
there.
Very, very close. That was like as close as states. You know, we had two different states earlier on.
Yeah, Alabama.
Both of our answers had words. Oh, it was so close.
They were both in English. So close.
Well, Daryl, you're the last chance here for another match in this round.
Unfortunately, I wrote something that I learned back when I was in CSZ San Jose, and that's loyal fans.
Loyal fans. Yeah. Yeah, that's what comedy sports fans are. They're very loyal.
They're loyal fans.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a loyal fans card with a Z.
Really?
Yeah.
A loyal fans card?
Yeah. It was how when you would take a class, you got a loyal fans card, which allowed you to get into so many shows.
Oh. Is it like? Did they punch it or something like
No, it was actually like a swipe card, electronic. Oh. They're all like high-tech and stuff down there in San Jose.
Holy crap.
Really? The Bay Area and Silicon Valley was high-tech?
I know. It's surprising, right?
It's so odd.
Go figure. All right.
All right, here we go.
No matches, but here
we go. Last chance for Mark and Jason to at least tie it up.
Yes, exactly. All right, so here we go. You could still get three matches here if they all amazingly write down the same thing.
And if Jeremy gets any points, he puts it out of reach altogether.
Yeah, that's it. You can close it out in this last round.
Bell.
Here we go. Final phrase.
And I would like to say before we do the final phrase that thank you to the three of you for coming to our show tonight, yeah, which was the second time we've ever done that show.
Yeah.
Full disclosure. All right, let's go. Yeah.
Here we go. Final phrase. Full blank. Full blank. Make sure you ring that bell once you got it written down so you can lock in your answer.
So if you haven't gotten your fill of CSZ Seattle, check out our website, seattlecomedygroup.com. Make sure that you check out that website and make sure you click on the podcast link and our brand new blog link where you can find out more about our host tonight, Dave Bogan.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. My blog profile is up there. And in great detail, you can see what inspired me to become a comedy sports player. My personal story, which I'm sure you'll find riveting. All right. We had full blank. Jason, you rang in first, so you get your answer locked in. What did you write there?
It was a great night of full disclosure.
I got a good feeling
about this
Somebody, I think this, I've given so many hints at different, at different after parties just like that, and nobody ever listens to them. So thank you, Jason.
Well done. Yeah, I rallied in at the end here. You figured it out. So, we had full blank. What did you write, Mark?
I've just realized I'm terrible at this game.
You're an independent thinker. You're your own man. Do your thing.
Yeah.
So I went with frontal.
Ah, full frontal. You know, that should, that might be a, that, well, that would
that
be comedy.
That could be a match. That's comedy we don't know.
Yeah.
It's a show in the making for you guys.
Yeah, I think that could be like our next midnight show.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll have full disclosure at 10 o'clock, and then at midnight we'll have full frontal.
Full frontal, where you can laugh at naked comedians just by looking at them, because, yeah, we're not that attractive.
My wife laughs at me when I'm naked.
Well, all right, Jeremy, what did you
Well, I'm pissed there? Because disclosure was the obvious answer, as you'll see on my board. Well, I was trying to give you losers a chance. I went with disclosure, but then realized it was taken, so I went with full Monty.
Full Monty. Yeah, he had disclosure, but yeah.
I was wondering if anybody was going to say House.
And they're making a new one.
Fuller House.
Out on Netflix, Fuller House.
Fuller House. I don't know how I feel about
that. Yeah, so our joke about Bob Saget that Alex always says will come on back.
So are they going to have some original cast members on
that show?
Oh,
it's the entire original cast except for the Olsen twins.
Yeah,
except
even for the old, well, yeah, you probably saw that.
Even
coming.
Kimmy Gibbler, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, wow.
By the way,
by the way, I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's one thing I love is
she was no Blossom. She was no Blossom.
No Blossom. My God. Blossom. Let's see. Well, let's see if we got some matches.
Wait, before we go on.
Yeah.
And neither of them were any Punky Brewster. So let's just...
Oh, Punky Brewster.
Hey, small wonder or get out.
I'm more of a Clarissa explains it all kind of guy.
Well, yeah, I think Scott just lost me with small wonder. I'm like, ugh. You know, okay, Clarissa explains it all. Okay. Small wonder. Oh my God.
Oh God.
Robotic.
I just learned everything I need.
You're not into the underage robots?
I'm really not. I want my people to age so that at some point
I mean, maybe Scott's ahead of the curve because, I mean, internet porn is basically just like robotic women. You're like, yeah, this is what I want you to do. And look, I found that. Yay.
I find it interesting that this show has turned into just, how can we get porn?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a very educational conversation. It's something, you know, that I know I'm interested in.
I tried bringing it up the highbrow with Brown versus Board of Education, but nobody wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, that didn't last. All right. Well, Nathan, here we go.
Well, what I think we might have my first match with full frontal nudity.
Oh my God. Wow. Mark with a point.
Nathan gets the match with Mark. Well done. So you got one. Now it's a matter of did they all write full frontal nudity? Well, Scott, did you?
Mark just needs one more and I think he's going to be really happy because I said flavor.
Oh, full flavor.
Sorry. No skim milk here.
Oh. Dag nabbit. All right.
I don't even know if that makes sense.
Now that goes to Daryl.
you know, I give hints for a reason, so I said full disclosure.
Full disclosure. So, so Jason gets a match there. But that was our final round. So, Daryl, what was the total score?
The total score was 3-1-1, which means Jeremy is our winner.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you win 4 passes back to any CSZ Seattle show. I'll hand you those in a second. But Mark and Jason, I guaranteed you guys prizes.
Yep.
And so you guys get what we call the bar prize, which is any drink that you are legally allowed to drink from our bar and a candy bar from the bar.
Yes. Lovely
so
bartender
see
Danielle.
The lovely bartender Danielle, yes. And still give her a tip because, you know, that's just good manners.
Exactly. Yeah, she literally likes to sleep in a bed of money, so yeah.
All right, now we head on to the conversation section of the podcast where we converse.
Let's clap for our contestants. So they did a great job, guys. Well done. Daryl's going to get you set up with those prizes, and thanks for playing with us, guys. But now we are going to move on to the conversational portion of our podcast where, as I said, we get to talk to our two newest players here at Comedy Sports. So I guess my first question for you guys is, why don't you explain to us what got you into comedy? What got you into improv? Like, you know, give us the basic story that got you inspired to pursue this hobby or career. Nathan, you can go first. Yeah,
I actually first found improv in school, which then I eventually found my school started a comedy sports league in Los Angeles. So comedy sports is competitive improv, and this is when you can play improv against other high schools. So it was a great way to get the funny out and meet other kids that were just as nerdy and weird as you were. And then, so that was my first introduction, and then now I'm up in Seattle doing comedy sports. Between that, I did do some improv in college and some stand-up comedy, and it's just always been a lot of fun.
Stand-up comedy. I mean, That's a whole different animal.
Yeah, my soul died. So it was just, it's odd. The people that do stand-up comedy just kind of really hate the world. And just kind of, but yeah, like.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all like that, but it's, to do stand-up, you really have to sacrifice a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to make a career, don't have a girlfriend or a wife.
Yeah.
Or anybody that you care about, basically, because you are driving, you're on the road constantly, just driving to, you know, Hodunk, Louisiana or whatever, and doing shows for like sometimes, you know, 10 people or 50 people, and a lot of those shows can either be great or they can bomb. I've done a little bit of stand up, but I'm speaking from the experiences of a lot of my friends that have done it,
it's a good summary of it. Stop being joy, and it's just like, why am I making myself miserable? So I got a good YouTube clip out of it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's up to like 57 views.
Uh-oh.
So
if they want to find it, what do they look up?
Worth it.
Nathan Jackson, I think it was Pasadena Ice House.
Pasadena.
So Nathan Jackson, Pasadena Ice House was like, that was like one of the last sets I did.
Uh-huh.
So it's a good, it was a good one.
Pasadena Ice House, Steve Martin's old club. Really, really good.
I came up through the San Francisco Bay Area scene, so got to do a lot of special and fun clubs there. But, yeah, a lot of good comics are coming up out of San Francisco, so it's cool seeing them. Of them now, like, too, are just really starting to peak. So I'm getting, I know that guy. Like, one of them just is on a show on NBC right now.
Yeah.
Some random commercials. Another one's got a show on CNN. So it's like, cool. So.
Yeah, that's always cool to see your friends like succeed like that, because I got a lot of friends that have moved to LA, and you know, now they're doing commercials and they're doing TV shows. My buddy Eric Price was just on Two Broke Girls. He played an appearance on that show too. But that's always fun to see. Scott, tell us a little bit about how you got interested in the community of comedians.
My first time doing improv myself, I was working at the University of Idaho, and there was a student group, and they invited anyone in town to come, and I did. So I was 26, and I was already the creepy old guy in the group. So I wanted to kind of avoid that, so followed Dave Bogan around any group he's in, so I can avoid that completely.
Yeah,
That's what I do.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and then, you know, I moved to Seattle, and there's a good improv scene here, able to take classes at a lot of different places. There's not just one place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's here we are.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it's I've been doing comedy sports for about 20 years now. I started in Milwaukee back in I got hired as a player in 1997. I started doing it in like 1994, the workshops and everything. One awesome thing about comedy sports that I think really sets us apart from a lot of other improv troupes or what have you is we are definitely like a family that you guys are going to learn to experience too. And not just here in Seattle, but like around the world. I mean, we got over 25 different comedy sports now. Like,
including England and Germany, I was amazed to find out.
England and Germany, yeah. Germany just opened up about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. I think they were talking about opening one up in Poland, too. Hopefully, like, Russia doesn't invade them and take that away. But
Because history. We're all about history tonight. Brown versus Board of Education. Russia invading Poland.
Yeah.
Cable porn. History.
History. It's history, folks. It's history. It's awesome to be a part of the big comedy sports family. So I think you guys are gonna come to see and experience that as you guys move forward. Yeah.
I actually want to tell one of my favorite stories specifically about the family and CSZ Germany.
Yeah.
When I was in San Jose, which is where I did a lot of my formal training of improv, was at CSC San Jose. And at one point I was watching a show where they had a guest from CSC Germany. And it was funny because she was actually from the Bay Area. So they were doing a game where we oftentimes have games where we'll ask for accents.
Yeah.
And somebody said Germany. And so the person who did Germany was somebody else, and so they just sounded like somebody from California, and they're like, I sound just like her, she's from Germany. And it was hilarious. It went over great. Because they were like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound anything like a German. It's like, there she is, she's from Germany. So it's like, it was perfect. So.
That sounds like an alt ending to World War II. Like,
yeah, it's the alternate ending, yes.
The German surfing life, brah.
Yeah.
Brah.
Endless summer, the Germans.
I've only been.
That's good.
Has anyone been to Germany? You guys been to Germany? No? Anyone been to Germany?
Just layovers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there in a layover in Frankfurt, Germany. That was back in my Marine days. I was back, coming back from Desert Storm. We had a fly through Frankfurt, Germany. And I remember we were coming, it was like after the war had ended, and we were some of the first troops that got to come back. So we were flying back, and we stopped in Frankfurt, Germany. And we landed there like in the middle of the night, and they knew we were coming, and the airport made it a point to have one of the bars open for us. Like after the entire airport was closed, but they had this bar open for us, and an entire company of Marines, which is like several hundred Marines, came in there, and we just started drinking beer, and it was funny because
in the morning there was no alcohol left.
Probably not.
You drank all the beer in Germany.
We drank all the beer in Germany, or at least at their airport,
and thus Oktoberfest was born.
Yes, yes. But when we got back on the plane,
nobody knew it. It started in the 90s, and it's thanks to Operation Desert Storm.
Yes,
we have Oktoberfest.
See,
little history lesson. More history with the CSE Seattle After Party.
See, war is good. Good things happen. But long story short, we get back on the plane, and obviously all of our drinking tolerance is super low. So like, you know, we're all kind of buzzed and a little bit hammered, and then we get on the plane, and I swear within 10 minutes, this entire company of Marines, all of us were just sleeping just because it was like taking a tranquilizer. It just put us out.
Mm. The few, the proud, the passed out.
Yes. Yep. More times than I can count. Yeah.
Well, since this is actually a podcast about the new players,
let's
talk to them.
I just go off on a tangent every once in a while.
No, it's okay. At one point, you were a new player and you didn't have a podcast, so it's okay.
That's true.
We'll talk to you, Dave.
Well, what are your comedic influences? Like, for me, I was a huge Monty Python fan when I was in high school. That's what really got me into comedy, because I found it so unique and their sense of humor so weird. It kind of matched, my kind of thinking. What kind of inspired you guys?
I first fell in love with stand-up comedy. My all-time favorite comic is Mitch Hedberg. He's just genius writer.
Seattle's own.
So quotable. He's just fantastic. And then when I was in Comedy Sports in high school, that's also when Whose Line Is It Anyways, the American version came out. And so that was also really great and kind of fun to fuel it. But yeah, stand-up was my first comedic love.
Yeah, stand-up was, yeah. How about you, Scott?
I was really influenced by, the whole 90s is my real formative years. And so early Simpsons and Seinfeld and like the Will Ferrell era of SNL and all that stuff was really, you couldn't avoid it. And it was, good stuff, at least for me. And it was really something.
Yeah, SNL. Yeah, SNL was a big influence on me. Like in the earlier years, like the Bill Murray days and stuff like that. And then immediately following, what's his name? The Wayne's World.
Mike Myers. Dana Carvey. Yeah.
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey was the first stand-up comedian that I saw on TV, and I was like, this is hilarious.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah, I had this hour special on Comedy Central that was just really great.
Yeah, back in the day, he was really funny. Do you guys have any favorite comedians that you liked when you were watching, when you were younger?
Gilbert Gottfried, very, very funny guy.
Yeah.
Kind of more current, he's more of a podcaster now, but Mark Maron, very funny.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman, just so many. Lewis Black.
Lewis Black.
Yeah, comics I love. Tig Notaro is also
amazing. Brilliant.
She's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I got to meet Lewis Black. Back in Milwaukee, there was something called Summerfest, and it's quote unquote the biggest musical festival in the world. But also, I hear Bumbershoot is supposed to be the biggest musical festival in the world. So I guess our festivals will have to fight. I got to meet Lewis Black, and wow, what a great guy. He's so angry when he does his comedy and stuff like that. It's so fun to watch. But if you meet him, personally, he's like very gentle and very almost introverted,
He gets the poison out on stage, so he's good.
Oh, no doubt.
He's being rich and successful now, so I'm sure that mellowed him out a bit. He's like, life doesn't look so bad. So this 1% thing's working out.
Yeah. It's his way of venting. Probably very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys been in any other improv troupes that you want to talk about here? Because I want to hear some interesting stories about some of your most unique improv experiences.
Well, part of the problem with doing improv and just being like a freelance improviser is that you're only as good as the people you're working with. You could have Bill Murray working with a bunch of people that are constantly blocking and denying. It might be funny to see him struggle, but he's gonna get frustrated and not be able to do his good work. And so finding people out there that are willing to practice on a regular basis, perform on a regular basis, and that you can really trust and grow with is really hard.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's, to me, is why I'm here, because if you're on stage and you can't trust the other people, then it's really hard for you to open up and do that. So being a part of a group that you can rely on and people that are kind of a well-oiled machine, and then plugging yourself into that, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to, really being able to open up and trust on stage, because everyone else has your back.
Yeah.
Whether they're on your team or the other team, that's what I'm looking forward to. And then that's the struggle of doing shows. Anyone who's seen an improv show has probably seen a bad improv show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of a joke, to go see your friend's improv show. But it's true.
Yeah.
A lot of improv is bad, and that's what makes Comedy Sports so good. There's a formula that works, and there's a lot of leeway to play within that formula.
Yeah.
And there's a common language that all the comedy sports around the world speak, and that's really valuable, because, sometimes a really free form improv can be great, and sometimes it's not worth your $10.
No doubt. Nathan, do you have a bad improv experience that you can share with us?
Actually, I had an odd experience in college. I did that troupe, which for me, I just didn't like it, because It seemed like it was probably just the college mindset, but it was like every scene quickly became like, well, give us a suggestion. Football, great. But then somehow it becomes about like blowjobs and weed. Like every scene.
Wow.
And I feel like every scene I did in college was like, and it just got so boring.
Oh, really?
To like kind of go back
we
to
we know this. Two jokes and they are.
Yeah.
One's about football or one's about blowjobs, which starts with football, and one's about weed that starts with football.
Yeah. Like it's just like, yeah. And so for me, it just wasn't, they were great people all, but it was just, it just kind of wasn't as fun. And
yeah.
So not, yeah, like, I know this is obviously, we're biased because we're on the comedy, this is a comedy sports thing, but that's what something I really like about comedy sports is there's variety there, there's the different matches and games that you play, and things that kind of push you to do different things and be more creative. So that's something I really like about it.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, obviously we're coming from a somewhat biased opinion here, but what I really like about what we do here at Comedy Sports is it really forces you to have a plethora of different skills.
Yeah.
You know, because so much improv focuses on like, you know, long form stuff, which is great. You know, and I've seen some great long form shows where it's more scene orientated, but what we do challenges you because you gotta, you can't just lean on the same characters all the time. You have to be able to do a variety of things. Like you have to be able to, you gotta do accents. You gotta be able to, sing and do different song styles, you know. You gotta be able to do different styles of theater or movies or TV shows. You need to know pop culture references and know how to do impersonations. I mean, it really challenges you to run the whole gambit of skills. And I think the format that we use really forces us to have to learn that and makes it really fun. It makes it challenging. And I mean, I've been doing it for 20 years and I still, you know, have things to work on. You know, I can still get better at my accents or, you know, film styles or whatever. What if you had some strengths, and I ask this of both of you, what are your comedy strengths? Like, what are your, like, well, if I do a show, I know I can do this and knock it out of the park. What do you got?
I think my character, if I had to, somewhat like an authority figure who really has no authority is something I can always lean on. You know, like a principal that's pathetic or a pathetic shop owner or a pathetic president, a pathetic
politician. I'm noticing a pattern here.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, easy for me to fall back on that. So that's my thing.
A lot of pathetic.
Yeah.
Is that linked to your real life at all?
Yeah, I just feel like you need a hug or something.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well,
would you like a hug is what we're really saying. Do you need a hug? We'll give you a hug.
I think he's pretty sincere.
Or a bigger tab at the bar. Whatever you need, we're here for you.
Well, pathetic characters, that's a place to start. Mm-hmm. You can be like a pathetic Irishman. You can learn how to do that.
But
next.
It's important that they think that they're, you know, the self-importance, but with nothing to back it up, you know.
Yeah.
Authority with no power, you know, like that's to get Machiavellian about it. They don't, you need both in order to be in charge. If you have authority and no power, then you don't really have anything.
Do you have like an experience like in real life where you've dealt with someone like
that? Yeah,
all of them. Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nice to meet you, by the way.
Ow. Nathan, what do you think you bring to the table when it comes to comedy and skills?
I don't know. What I enjoy, I always really like the physical games, like forward, reverse, and countdown, where you just get to kind of really be big and fun with it. So I like to think I'm fairly good at being physical, but then, and also the guessing games, which that comes in handy. So that's probably something I feel the most comfortable doing. I like to think I have other strengths than just a weird body. Picture that podcast.
You have a weird, you have a weird body.
If you were here and saw us all naked, you'd know that it's true.
In our next show, full frontal.
All three of my nipples are quite ordinary, thank you.
Yes. That's some serious comedy porn right there.
Yeah. I really enjoy the physical games, but then, like you're saying, always other stuff to develop and strengthen.
Yeah. Well, pathetic and making
and
fun
weird.
Of your body. Yeah. And weird. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's a
you guys know how to pick them. You got it.
Well, I mean, I'll talk about, you guys went through the audition process here.
Mm-hmm.
How did the audition process here compare to other auditions that you both may have taken? What are the differences, or are they similar, or what?
Well, first of all, you guys made great decisions at the end. That's the most important thing. But besides
as
that,
pathetic
yes.
as he tried to be,
still continuing the biased behavior.
I mean, in the easiest way to do an audition in my book, which is not necessarily the best way, is to make the audition so rigorous and arduous that so many people fail, and then you just get one or two people at the end who are good, who yeah. make it through happenstance or skill, and then you can pick those people. Yeah. And I feel like the audition here, at least the feeling that I had, which maybe is not how anyone else felt, but that's what I felt, is that it was putting everybody in a position to succeed, which makes it a lot harder at the end to pick the people, because if everyone succeeds yeah. in some way, then you have to really have nuanced certain selections.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
that was a lot more, especially because auditions are so contrary to the antithesis of improv. Yeah. I mean, the attitude in of that kind of competition, different yeah. than the competition that occurs on stage, the real sport that is yeah. comedy sports, of course. Yeah. But it felt different. It felt like a welcoming environment. And while everyone knew they weren't going to get it, I think everyone was put in a position to succeed. And then you guys had to pick from the people that succeeded.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, as we did the audition process, I mean, we had a lot of really talented people. We had a lot of really talented people that made that that decision very difficult. But yeah, like you said, we wanted to make the audition process, you know, very welcoming to everyone. Cause that's important because and I think you can see it as you see comedy sports shows, our performers are not just good at improvisation, you know, it's more about how can you play from a place of fun where, you know, you're not only doing improv, but you're really enjoying yourself up here and generating like a likability that the audience likes. They like to see you having fun up here doing comedy sports. And what we looked for was who seemed to do that the most effortlessly. Where
effortlessly likable. That's a great thing to put on my resume.
There you go. Yes, yes. I mean, yeah, and it really did. You know, as tough as the decisions were, because there are a lot of really talented people. What it came down to is like, okay, well, who's up there that looks like they're enjoying themselves, and the wheels aren't turning. We don't see you thinking. You know, where we don't see you trying.
Effortlessly likable yeah. and doesn't think.
Doesn't think. Yes, just doesn't think at
like
all.
Well, honey, why do you like your husband so much? Well,
yeah, yeah. Great way to become a comedy sports player is have poor judgment. Yeah, yeah. Make poor decisions. Don't think about it. But yeah, that was a big part of our decisions. What was the experience like for you, Nathan?
I guess it's kind of echoing what Scott was saying. I really enjoyed it. This was my first improv audition. So I don't really have anything to compare it against. Because stand-up auditions were very different, where you just kind of like, have your pre-made 5 minutes, and then, okay, thank you very much, get out. so yeah, this was very much fun. It was very much more of a playful, coming from a sense of play, and I found it to be, really enjoyable. But you know, like all auditions are kind of still like, oh, I feel like I did good. Yeah, I don't know if I feel like questioning every decision.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, I'm happy I made it through.
Yeah.
One thing that's tough about improv auditions is if there's 100 people and it's a 2-hour audition, then you're only going to get a certain amount of time, and you're really dependent in a lot of cases on who you get put up there with.
Yeah.
And if that person is obstructive and all these things and the proctors at all these auditions say they can tell, but if they don't get to see you do anything, it's really hard to put you in the show. And first of all, there was a good crop of people at this thing, but I felt like we got enough time. It wasn't just you got your 30 seconds with whoever. Yes. You didn't get to do anything. I've done auditions before where I didn't even get to do anything.
Yeah.
I got on stage one time and I barely got in the scene because either it was a horrible scene and I didn't want to get mixed up in that, or I forced myself into a scene because that was my only chance.
Yeah.
And I feel like we got a bunch of opportunities to show what we could do for whatever reason. I don't know how you guys did it, but that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys did a great job. We're getting close to the end of the podcast here. We're gonna wrap it up here in a moment. But before we do wrap it up, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of some sort of misattributed quote, where you're gonna come up with a quote and then you're going to try to think of someone that didn't actually say it, but maybe you think should have said it, perhaps. All right?
For comedic value.
For comedic value. So for ironic value. But while you're thinking about that, hey, Daryl, do you have any announcements before we go to our misattributed quotes or misattributed?
I do.
Yeah.
In fact, let me tell you about our upcoming guests and episodes that we have scheduled right now. On March 5th, which is next Saturday, we have the father and son improv duo Next Generation Gap. Should be interesting because the son is 13 years old and the show beforehand is our blue show. So that should be interesting, just to see the energy. April 2nd, we have Almost Live cast member and inspirational speaker Tracy Conway will be here. And we're also working on several of the acts, the local Seattle acts that were at S-Fit. I'm in talks with them to try and get them scheduled for some of the other dates in March. So keep following us on Twitter and on Facebook, and you can find out when we get them scheduled as well. Also remember, listen, rate, and review us on iTunes. We want other people to find us, and that can only happen if you listen, rate, and review us there. And email us, fanmail@CSZSeattleAfterParty.com. And Twitter is CSZSEAPodcast, @CSZSEAPodcast. So now, let's go with some misattributed quotes.
All right, Dave, what do you got? I'll start us off nice and easy here so we can build up to yours. My misattributed quote is a penny saved is a penny earned. And I'm going to say that was said by Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump. Yep. Got that reference out of the way right off the bat. So,
glad I have a backup quote.
Oh, you got a backup quote? Yeah, you can use the same person. Let's see what you got.
My original one was going to be Donald Trump stealing Michael Jordan's. Wayne Gretzky's. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take to help explain his current situation. But my backup quote is "One Small Step for Man, One Giant Leap for Mankind" by Stephen Hawking in his wheelchair.
Nice.
See, I'm glad I went with a very simple vanilla kind of one, and you
went a little dark there.
Yeah, you definitely contrasted.
He has done. Yeah, he's to continue the history's lesson. He's a great man that's done a lot of leaps and bounds for mankind.
That's
so.
Good save there. All right,
thank you.
Well done. And Scott, what's your quote?
Oh, late 80s sports fans may remember. I'm drinking a Coca-Cola right here, and you know, enjoy Coke. That Len Bias said that. Originally, it's attributed to other folks, but he's the first.
Nice.
Wow, Scott. Nice. Enjoy Coke.
Scott, all right, yeah, Daryl, what did you end up with?
All right, well, I was definitely thinking of stuff we'd already talked about tonight in a way. And the quote I have is, "I came, I saw, I conquered." And it was a little double entendre when it was said by Ron Jeremy. I heard him when I was watching some scrambled cable porn. And with that, we have tonight's episode of the CSZ Seattle After Party! Thank you very much to our new players that we've got tonight, Nathan and Scott. Thank you to our contestants, Jeremy, Mark, and Jason. And of course, thank you, Dave, for helping me host the podcast.
We'll see you next time, Omar. Have a great night.